Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful, Cindy. Absolutely wonderful. As you guys know, I was not on the show last week because Lisa and I went to Disney World, right? Yeah, we were in Florida last weekend. So a very good friend of ours was getting engaged, so it was kind of like a little surprise that we were going to be there as well. And it was a very, very nice trip away. Unfortunately, when I got back from my long weekend, I needed a weekend for my weekend because we were absolutely exhausted. But it was definitely worth it.
Wow. Well, that sounds fun. And, you know, I don't know if you know, Nicole, but it's time again for the Best of Long Island contest. And I'm running again for Best of
Long Island, my dear.
Oh, good, because, you know, I wasn't even aware it was popping up. And then all of a sudden I get the email saying, the contest opened tomorrow night. So I was up in the middle of the night saying, ooh, I've got to get stuff out there.
No, I saw it, and I've already voted since the day that I saw it. And in addition to that, actually, I'm going to do a little shout-out to my stepmom right now because she is also in the Best of Long Island competition.
Oh, good.
All right.
So tell me which and what category.
Okay, she's a massage therapist. I believe that's under medical services, and it's hands-on healthcare, and they're located in Comac. So for anybody that's going to be logging on to Long Island's Best or whatever, I'm sure that my stepmom as well as myself would greatly appreciate your support. And if you have not been there, if you are in the Comac area, then please go down there. They're absolutely wonderful.
Wow, and I think it's under health and wellness. I believe
it's under health. Yes, health and wellness.
Because
it's hands-on healthcare.
Okay, hands-on healthcare. And what you would do is, and hopefully you will vote for hands-on healthcare and for me, Cindy Sansom-Braff, for Best Psychic. I have some steep competition. John Edwards, although I've won over him before, now I have the Long Island Medium too. So I've always got the celebrities running.
Well, you know what, Cindy? Like, the bottom line is that you know what, like, even though, like, what is her name? I don't even know her name. The
Teresa
Long Island
Caputo.
Girl?
Mm-hmm. Teresa
Caputo. Okay. I'm John Edwards, I'm sure, you know, obviously everybody knows who he is, and yes, he's a celebrity, and, you know, and she, like, I have tuned in, you know, to her show just to see what it was all about, you know, a couple times, and she seems like a very, very nice lady, but you know what, something about you, though, Cindy, is just, you know, notches above the rest, so don't worry about it.
Thank you so much, so those people who have time, you can go to thebestof.longislandpress.com/vote, or just Google longislandpress.com, and eventually it comes up the contest. I'm under services, which is a crazy looking character thing. It has like these two wheels. I don't know what that has to do with services, but I always tell people it's sandwiched between the shopping cart and the bicycle picture, you know, because nobody could tell what that picture is. And so if you get a chance, I'd appreciate it. Now, Nicole, we had a lot of listeners last week, and I did the best I could. I got a little nervous here and there, but I think I did pretty good. People do miss you when you're not here screening and giving your viewpoint and actually helping me sometimes, because Nicole is the one who gives me that little, if I don't want to say something too harsh or too strongly,
yes,
Nicole
absolutely
doesn't mind being the bad one here.
The not so nice news.
Right. So I always need her because she knows I go, when I have to deliver hard messages.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm abrasive sometimes, guys, but I say everything that I say with love, you know, so.
Absolutely. Now, I guess we'll just go to our first caller. I think the 919 is probably North Carolina.
Yep, we're going to go straight over there, and as usual, I do not screen the first caller. So it's the 919, the last four digits are 6054. So this way you know that we are addressing you. And hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, is this North Carolina we're speaking to?
Yes, my lucky day. Number one.
Number one, and it's so funny because we try always to, the people that are so patient waiting, you know, and usually if you just, you know, log on a little bit earlier, you can be that number. But you were number one, by the way. It's your number one day. So
yeah.
Your first name is?
My name is Becca.
Okay, Becca. Now, I'm sure you must have something on your mind or you wouldn't have waited so patiently. So if you could just sum it up for us and we'll try to help you as best we can.
Well, I am single right now, and
hooray, it's a good place. Hooray,
and
the worst place is in a bad relationship, so when we're like single, it's a good place.
Yeah, and it's been 6 months now, and I was in a long-term relationship of 9 years, and we haven't talked too much, and I haven't heard from him, and I was wondering if, you know, I will, and this is something we can work on.
Okay, Becca, I like the way you describe certain things to us, that it was a 9-year relationship, and then it's like 6 months now broken up, because relationships do work in 5-year cycles. So you're almost approaching the 10-year mark, and that will be in the next 6 months. And it's very crucial what this man does in the next 6 months, because it usually takes a little time for another soulmate, to be brought into alignment with us. They have to also be sure you're ready to close the door. And he's a man who, he absolutely loves you, but he's sort of walked away from it. I mean, there were certain healing issues he didn't want to do. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, soulmate love is that heart, soul, mind, body love at the top of the ladder of love. You know, that was what was channeled to me, that love is like a ladder. And it's also heart, soul, mind, body, committed love and committed to healing. That's where people are not maintaining soulmate love. You know, only 1% of people seem to be able to do the healing necessary. He is thinking about you. He's sort of beating himself over the head about the situation. But in some ways, he still is an emotional cripple and has some issues that, you know, were there, they're still there. The best thing that you're doing is keeping the 2 feet out. You know, you couldn't be fixed with, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And, you know, you did start out as soulmates clearly with him. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay. And he knows that you were the love of his life. But, you know, the one thing about soulmates is when they know they're not able to come to the plate and that if they may even hurt us again, they usually have a lot of inner guidance that's telling them, if you can't come back, stick 2 feet in here and be a man or be the woman you're supposed to be, leave your soulmate alone and let them have someone who can step up to the plate. And that's where he's at now. He's not sure he could be that man. He would want to be, but he doesn't want to hurt you anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you know that about him?
I'm hoping that was true.
I mean, and he knows that you were, like, a good person. It's not easy to take soulmate and destroy it, soulmate love. Normally, it's best to walk away, to make it toxic is really, really hard on soulmates, because when you hurt your soulmate, you hurt yourself. It's not the same as, you know, a narcissistic rung where, you know, any cute guy is interchangeable with another cute woman, where, you know, it's not a great love. Who cares if I cheat and be mean? He didn't like the person he was becoming at times with you.
Yeah.
And you're a nice person. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And nice people sometimes, the love doesn't go all the way down to toxic because they shut the hell up a lot, nice people. We're like peacemakers and we make excuses for abuse. And, you know, another woman might have killed this guy, by the way. It's a testimony to you, not to him. And he's doing an awful lot of self-beating up. Now, you could, because 6 months have passed, and you are karmically correct to send him an email or a note or a letter telling him that you still love him, if that's how you feel, and see if that does anything. You know, it may not change anything. You have to be prepared for the fact he may not respond.
And yeah, I couldn't.
And you can't take it personally. He's not rejecting you, Becca. He's rejecting a higher love. You have to move it outside of your own ego. In doing that, you're giving him one last chance to come forward. If he closes the door by not responding or comes back and you can see he's clearly not changed, at least now you know you're ready to move forward. Are you tempted to contact him at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're asked to follow our heart. We never regret that we put our hearts on the line. I don't regret what I did over the years trying to get a commitment phobic to come forward. I feel I did everything I could, told him how I felt, gave him space. I don't have regrets. Because, you know, all we're asked if we still love a person is to say it, to tell them how you feel and give them that opportunity before the universe brings you another soulmate. The problem is that they don't want to bring one, because if you haven't closed the chapter on this, and, you know, soulmates are pretty telepathic and he'll sense when you move forward, who would you choose and are you going to hurt another soulmate?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just saying the universe is pretty careful with soulmates. You know, this is a nice man they're bringing your way. He doesn't deserve to, you know, fall in love with you and have you rip his heart out. I mean, I was in that transition stage when I finally closed the door on the man I've been waiting for a long time and said, bring me a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to healing. And I met TJ, who's my current husband, the next day. And I realized they would not have brought me another soulmate if this man was coming anytime soon. And, you know, I did tell TJ about this man. And, you know, TJ said, I'm putting 2 feet in here and I'm going to bring you to the mountaintop. If this man can come and take you down from that mountain, he can do it. And, you know, but it's hard for you to start another relationship until you really say, let me give it one last shot. Let me see where it goes. They'll give him another month, 2 or 3. But by the time the 10-year mark, which is in about 6 more months, you will be brought another soulmate if this man doesn't come round. And I know it's hard for you to comprehend because I think you only want this man probably. That's how you feel right now?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, that's how I felt. But we're much better with a soulmate who's committed to us, who treats us like $1 million, who realizes that love is a gift, and who does everything to cherish and treasure that guilt, than someone who can't commit and continually breaks our heart. Because that's not soulmate love anymore. That's toxic. Love is not pain. And unfortunately, anybody who's been raised in dysfunction, as I was, you associate love with pain. Anybody ever had the misfortune of loving when I was a child certainly hurt me. But I've had to learn that love is not pain. Love is joy and healing and happiness. And that's what's in the cards for you. So if you would, you know, do what you feel you need to do, pick and choose the words carefully. Take your time to, you know, say what you mean and get it across to him somehow. It could be in a card. It could be in an email. Sometimes, you know, talking isn't as effective because our words get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, if he hooks your ego, you could say something you regret.
Yeah, we haven't talked in a few weeks, and it's just, you know, it's And even that last conversation wasn't really good.
That's what I'm saying, because sometimes words and sometimes egos, you know, when you write something, you know, love letters and letters used to be extremely effective because they came from our heart. So if you write a letter or say it, but it's almost giving him the choice to put the 2 feet back in and let's work it out. Or really, you have to take 2 feet out. You know, you just spoke to him a few weeks out again. Then, you know, take that 2 feet out and see what happens. But if you keep, you know, fighting every few weeks, it's not helping. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, it wasn't. I tried to contact him, and I think it had been a long time, and I think it caught him off guard.
And right, and, you know, commitment phobics, do not catch them off guard. That's like they're cornered animals, and they're going to scratch your eyeballs out. It's unfortunate, but they act like that. So sending an email or a letter might be more effective. But again, it wasn't wrong that you contacted him because the universe wanted you to see how he responded and that he's still a commitment phobe. You know, an otherwise nice person does cruel things and says cruel things. And if he didn't still care about you, he would say, oh, hi, how are you? It's nice to hear from you. You know, that kind of thing. He wouldn't have responded like that cornered animal. So those are little signs.
Miss the relationship and the sadness I feel because I know that he's not learning what he's supposed to and all that. And it's just hard.
You know, and you know what, some people,
unfortunately,
there's love and fear. That's all there is. And people who are on the path of fear really are just afraid of being hurt. It's like a really, self-preservation mechanism. And, you know, men can go to war. They can't go to love. I don't know about that. What's the problem with that? You know, it's really pretty, they're not afraid of war, you know. And here it is, if they're really afraid, and unfortunately, in order to be a true commitment phobic, you have to be extremely narcissistic because you're hurting somebody you love. And even if you were afraid and you see you're hurting someone you love, you begin to overcome your fears for that person. And when they can't, you have to realize you're dealing with an extremely narcissistic person. Narcissistic people don't heal because they don't see anything reality. They only see their own fears. So if he also is judgmental, is he a judgmental man, like judging his parents or judging people? Have you ever heard him being judgmental?
Yeah.
Okay. Combine the narcissism and judgmental, the prognosis of a person over the age of 25 ever changing is about 10%. They would have to earn a miracle, and he's not earning a miracle with his behaviors.
No.
He would have to come forward and say, look, I love you. It scares the hell out of me, but I'm sticking 2 feet in here, and I'm seeing what's here. But if you don't hear those words, they could do this for 20 years. Commitment phobes can do this dance for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I have clients that fell in love with someone 40 years ago. Now it's Facebook and, you know, divorces and who died, and now they can be brought back together. And he's still running, or she's still running 40 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how the universe keeps bringing these soulmates into alignment and they're still running. You know, and the best part about love is when it is a gift and when it's given to you, to embrace it. And this is something where, you know, you love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If a man was doing this to your daughter, how mad would you be?
Oh, yeah.
Mother hen mad, correct?
Yeah.
Then you have to stop saying it's okay he does this to me, and you have to stop turning the other cheek. It's really not okay that people who love us hurt us. It's not okay. And, you know, it's taking me a long time in my life to get to the place of self-love because, you know, good people think self-love is being selfish. It's not. It's loving yourself enough to say, I deserve someone who sees that I'm a gift. I don't deserve someone who thinks I'm a gift to kick around and to take advantage of or to neglect or take for granted. So it's you working on your self-esteem. Perhaps if we've ever judged someone who, you know, it's usually our parents have taken a lot of crap. I always judge my mother for taking so much crap from my father. I forgot she loved him once upon a time. She didn't just take that crap because she was a stooge and stupid. So it's our way of not judging other people who may stay in toxic love too long, who may not walk away from abusive people. But eventually, you know, we didn't come this far in liberation to have a man snap his fingers, and when he says run, we run, because it's the worst kind of master-slave. That commitment phobics are the masters.
Yeah.
And that's what really was my final lesson. There were two final lessons in a 15-year period of waiting for someone to commit to me. One was he was not rejecting me. He was rejecting the higher love and the healing that that demanded. And that was one, you know, a very important lesson for me to learn, that he was rejecting that, and that I didn't come this far in liberation to have a man be my master. So, yeah. You know, think about those things. And, you know, again, a letter from your heart, because you'll never regret it. The universe will say, you're not responsible for the death of this soulmate love. He is. He won't be granted another soulmate anytime soon. You will be. There is one already getting an alignment with you. And that way you'll be ready. And you won't think, well, maybe he's coming back, maybe not. I don't know how I so clearly move forward with TJ. I realize now my spirit guides were right there getting me to not. They'd be scraping me off the floor right now with a man who said he was coming back and never showed up.
Yeah.
So how the universe knew, oh, you're supposed to be like the, you know, helping people know there's a higher love. We can't have you like under, you know, jumping off a bridge here. You know, this is not good for, you know, the brand higher love, you know. So the universe kind of showed me everything that I teach. And I don't care if it's your twin flame, if you believe in that. I don't care if you think he's the higher soulmate. We have many soulmates, and a healed soulmate is as high a love as it gets. A healed person. And in the next millennium and in our next lifetimes, as more and more people are healed, we will have many soulmates around us and many that will come and know how to love. So it's realizing that you have another soulmate coming. And we have a lot of callers, so I do want to move on,
okay.
And I hope it's helped you.
Yes, thank you so much.
And you're welcome. And call us and let us know what happens when you write that letter if you want, because we'll just guide you step by step here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, now, Nicole, wasn't she lovely?
Well, yes, she was. And I would just
know. Who would want to just jump in and love her?
No, she seems very, very sweet. But I just want to point out, you know, because you were using the word selfish a lot,
mm-hmm.
during that whole thing, just so everybody understands that the word selfish, by definition, has absolutely nothing to do with loving yourself. The word selfish, by definition, is lacking consideration for others.
Yes.
By being chiefly concerned with your own personal pleasure, profit, or interests. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Don't think that you're a selfish person, you know, because you love yourself. You are only selfish if you only care about yourself and you lack compassion and consideration for others. That is completely two different things. There is nothing wrong with loving yourself. There is nothing wrong with putting yourself first, okay? And there is nothing wrong with standing up for yourself.
Exactly. And the word selfish is something that narcissistic people use to control the good people. Anytime, you know, with my ex-husband, when I asserted a human right, he called me selfish. And I said, I'm selfish like my mother? Oh, my God. And
yep.
I would automatically, like, stop. Doing what I needed to do. So don't let people control you by calling you selfish when you know you're acting from a place of self-love and asserting your human rights. That's, you know, something that really we need to learn the difference between self-love and selfish. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's really an important...
Absolutely, because you know what? A lot, because just like you said, Cindy, the manipulators out there will be the first ones to call you selfish.
Oh, boy. Oh,
you
yeah.
go... It's the tide, and when you go against the current, they'll be the first ones to say that you're being selfish.
And that's, you know, for those of us who, you know, never want to be selfish, to call us that is a very controlling thing. It took me probably 20 years, of being called selfish to realize, no, I'm not the selfish one here. It's a little slow learn. Turner, 20 years, you know?
I find it so hard to believe that somebody thought that you were selfish.
Oh, my God. And it's, you know, even I get it now with people who, you know, contact me for readings and they don't know me. And if I can't read them tomorrow, I'm being selfish and not spiritual. Not that I'm reading 11 people in a day and I need to eat and sleep. I'm being selfish.
Well, of course you are.
So the universe has a way of eliminating narcissistic people from getting readings from me, because when I hear that, I go, okay, I knock you off my list. One less person in the world to read.
Yep. Well, That's what I said.
I see we're going to California.
We are going to California. We are going to speak to Tammy in California.
Okay.
And she has not had a relationship in some years, Cindy. You know, it's been about 8, I believe she said. And she wants to know what you see relationship-wise. And in addition to that, she also asked one of the most important questions somebody could ask whenever they want to know when their next relationship is. She wants to know, is there something she's doing that's preventing a love from coming to her? So let's go out to Tammy and see what she's got to say.
Hi, Tammy. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good question.
Thank you.
Must be getting a lot of divine guidance right now to have said, am I blocking it? And I guarantee that you are, because the one gift that God would love to give us is a soulmate love.
Mm-hmm.
If it looked like, say, usually every 5 years, one is brought into alignment if we don't have one. And for you, probably around the five-year mark, they were bringing him. And, you know, soulmate circle for a full 5 years. So the same one is still circling near you. But if they had brought it sooner, you might have run afraid. Do you acknowledge your own closet commitment phobia, where you're a little afraid because you've been hurt?
I think so now. I'm saying I think before I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but I can see now that that's what it is. Yeah.
And yes, and see, so say at the 5 year mark they brought you this wonderful soulmate who is healed and happy and thinks that, you know, Tammy's the greatest thing he ever met and he's ready to stick 2 feet in. Tammy's is he the prince that's going to become the beast? You know, what's going on here? You may have run or sabotaged it. And what would have come from that would have been you learning that soulmate love without commitment is pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have had to suffer 2 or 3 years again until God brought you another soulmate somewhere around the 10-year mark, which would be like 2 more years from now. They tried to save you from that. And it's normal to be afraid of love when we've been hurt. But a lot of people who, and I have a lot of clients, I've, like, you know, probably over the years about maybe 8 or 10,000 people I've read, I can see that when people are not brought love, it is usually because they are afraid and they're giving off a vibration to the world that they have a closed heart. And, you know, I've done experiments or just fun things with groups showing them how if you approach people with an open heart, watch the warmth. And, you know, when I was first, you know, being guided about 15 years onto this higher love path, the universe would tell me to open my heart and be a beacon of love to every person I saw, whether it's a child, you know, an old person, or just the cashier behind the counter. All of a sudden, I was giving off a very loving vibration. You might want to work on giving that loving vibration out to the world.
Okay.
And that's a way of starting. There is a very nice man circling, coming close to you, that soulmate. Have you forgiven yourself for allowing certain people in your life, maybe not seeing who they were in the beginning, and tolerating too much crap? Because you're a very old soul. Old souls are very loyal people. Your fear also could have been, if I just meet a nice man to fit a plan, he's a really nice guy, I might walk down the aisle with the wrong man just because I don't want to hurt him. So older souls don't like to hurt people either. So they don't do very well with casually dating, because
right,
they don't know how to hurt people, you know, and they don't want to hurt. And if someone has hurt you, you would be more sensitive to that. So perhaps you're afraid of that. Also, if you're a very loyal person, I could see that you are, you might stay too long with a man who is abusive because you are a loyal person. So try to understand that at this stage in your life, you're asked to be loyal to people who deserve your loyalty.
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple of things that would make you afraid. This is a very strong year opening up. What's your birth date, the month and the day?
December 3rd.
Okay, because that's what I thought. You had a birthday coming up.
Birthday.
Right. That's what I thought. You have a birthday coming up soon, and the universe is telling me your birthday year, because the real significant year for a person goes from their birthday to birthday.
Okay.
This is a year of strength and love for you. And just try to meditate and write down what your fears might be about love and just clear them out. Look, we're here to, and just, you know, we're here to love. And you're a big girl now. If it doesn't work out, we could, you know, you've stood on your feet for 8 years without a man. You know, I mean, if it doesn't work out, you'll stand on your feet again. We have
right.
to stop thinking that we're like, you know, we can't, you know, if somebody hurts us, it's going to devastate us. And we have to realize that if we're involved with narcissistic people and manipulative people, they are going to hurt us, but it's not about us. And, you know, try not to be so, you know, that fear of being hurt and the fear that you won't survive if you are hurt. And even, you know, you have another fear in these cards, and it's a common fear of soulmate love, is if you love somebody and they could die on you. We're all afraid of, like, burying people we love. We're like, oh, every person, another person in my life, I'm afraid I have to bury them. I'm not going to be able to deal with this. Life and death are synonymous. I mean, that's what it is. And I try to prove that death ends a life but not a relationship. And soulmates are very telepathic, and God forbid our soulmate should die on us. He or she would grant us another soulmate. That's how it works, if we wanted one.
Okay.
So overcoming that fear, do you understand that you have a fear of people that might die on you?
Yes.
Okay, because that's a pretty big fear here. Your mom has passed away?
No.
Because there's a very loving woman that wants to talk to you who passed away. Probably a grandmother.
My grandmother, yeah.
Who resonates like a mom.
Yes.
She's the one who's telling me, when you were a little girl, all you ever wanted was a happy family life and
mm-hmm.
love. And she is the one who has chosen this man for you, and would she choose anybody but a good man for you?
No.
Okay, so she's saying open your heart to love. This is your year of love. This is a five-year period in which anything you want is yours. And she was the one who popped the thought in your head, you're being blocked, you got to move that block out of your move the block.
Okay.
You know,
well,
and...
Tammy, an addendum to that, also understand something, and this is probably less in-depth than what Cindy is saying to you, but it's one of the more obvious choices. Why haven't you gotten that love that you want? Because you're concentrating on the fact that you haven't gotten it yet.
Okay, yeah.
Sitting there, and you're throwing out there. The universe is not going to hear, you know, is going to hear what you're putting out there. So if you're sitting here going, my love hasn't come, when is my love going to get here, you know, and you're constantly questioning it, and you're focusing on the fact that your love is not there, then what you're manifesting is love not being there. You know,
right. instead of the love, concentrate on the love that is in your life, the self-love, if nothing else.
You should resonate love all the time, you know, and if you don't have a romantic love in your life right now, you need to concentrate on your platonic loves and your amicable loves and, you know, your parental loves and every
the dead that love us
love
and God who loves
in your
us.
Body.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's not your job to go out and to make things necessarily happen. That's the universe's job, is to make things happen for you. It's your work to sit there, to believe it, to dream it, and to let it happen to you. Okay? Because once you're in harmony with what love is and with the kind of love that you want, and once you get in touch with the things that you're afraid of and you let them go, and once you get in touch, you know, with the things that you want and you embrace them, things are going to start to happen. But don't concentrate on what's not there. Concentrate on what you want, on what you want to be, and concentrate on what you dream to be.
Okay.
Exactly. As you could tell, Nicole's been doing her law of attraction study this week.
I have.
Hooray, Nicole! Hooray! She's vibrating very high.
I'm vibrating very high today.
Right.
I'm vibrating so high today that at work I did a vision board on Photoshop.
So you do your vision. Write down what your ideal soulmate would be like, by the way. Loyal, trustworthy, your best friend, all positive things, strong, sober. Don't put, you know, I don't want a drunk, because the universe
right.
doesn't hear the word not. They'll bring you a drunk, which we don't want.
I worked on my list, I did, and I look at it from time to time. But I heard you talk about that before, and I made sure and did that.
Yeah, keep it going. And I'm glad that you got through to us, because, you know, sometimes we just need to hear that our fear is keeping love from coming our way. Or sometimes it's people's thought that they only have one soulmate. We have many soulmates. We have one twin flame. Most of us are not going to meet that person in this incarnation. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemies, because soulmate love demands healing 75% of our issues. That's enough. Twin flames would have to heal 99% of their issues. And most people don't want to do that much work in this lifetime. So even if you've met your twin flame and it didn't work, you're better off with another soulmate. So, you know, if people have lost the one they thought was the only one, give up that notion, because
right.
that's what stands in our way, too. And, you know, I do believe that I have met my twin soul in this lifetime, because twin souls are brought for humanity. And after I met him, I became psychic, and I was channeled the ladder of love and did this work on love, but it didn't work out. And you know, it was a lot of healing for him and for me. I mean, I think I did as much as I could heal, but I couldn't heal him or fix him if he didn't want to be fixed.
Right.
And, you know, I had to accept that. I had to accept that it was a very painful loss, but I learned the lessons in why love was brought to me and why it was taken from me. And those are the lessons that I try to teach. You know, there's lessons in both. But this time, this man's supposed to be like the one that's going to last for a long time. So embrace that and, you know, call us and let us know, because you'd be surprised, you know, and Nicole knows this too. The amount of my clients who have soulmates now is incredible.
Okay.
Incredible.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
It's you know, my mission is, you know, there's 1% of Americans maintaining soulmate right now. If I live another 40 years till I'm 100, I would hope I raise it to 1.25%. You know, I don't know I'm going to do better than that. But, you know, every time a soulmate love is in the world, it's just a beacon of light. Because healed people don't hurt people. Love people that are loved don't make war. They make peace wherever they go.
Well, yeah, no, I'm really grateful I got through. And thank you so much for the message from my grandmother. Because
I like her so much. She's a sweetheart. She likes me, too. She just, like, blew me a kiss. She blew me a kiss.
Wonderful.
I love her. You know,
that
and she's
really
baking
me
like
a
pie. She's, like, showing me a pie or some cookies she's baking for me. You know, it's like there was when a gift
she's
me with
known
some,
for her cooking. She was
I know. Well,
everybody.
She's cooking over there right now.
Yeah.
So remember, when she cooked, that was how she expressed love. That's how she gave love. And we all need to, like, kind of cook up some ways in which we give love, even
right.
if it's just with our smile and just with our words and you know, just with our kindness. And, you know, maybe hanging around with children a little bit, because, you know, I was a children's entertainer for 35 years, and I used to portray, like, Cinderella and the princess characters,
oh, wow.
and, of course, they all loved me. And I love Cinderella. She's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
And they knew within a minute of meeting me to tell me they loved me. And there were times in my life when, you know, the show must go on, and I was really in a bad, low spot. And I'd say, oh, God, I have to go be Cinderella. I feel like, oh, my God, I feel like anything but Cinderella and anything but a princess. And one day it was a really bad day. But, you know, I was an entertainer. The show goes on. And I walked in, and 20 little girls ran up to me and kissed me and said, Cinderella, you're the most beautiful princess in the universe. And I thought, here the children heal. They heal us because they're just such spontaneous beacons of love and light. And, you know, kids know how to say, I love you. You know, what happens to grown-ups if they forget those words?
I know.
Isn't it hard? And I used to say to the children, if you learn to say nothing in this world but the words, I love you, that's all you need to say. That's all you need to say to people is, I love you. Everything else is bullshit. Who cares what you have to say most of the time? Say, I love you. Say the words, and say them often and frequently, because what I've learned speaking to the dead in the last 18 years is they regret not loving enough. They regret the parents that didn't tell their kids, I love you. It's really hard. And imagine a husband, tell my wife I loved her. You needed me to tell her? You need to say it from the grave? Where were you when you were living that you didn't tell her you loved her? And, you know, those are the words, if you can say them to your friends and say them to everyone, it becomes easier to say them, you know, to your lover, to your husband. And, you know, my husband has that every morning he wakes up and tells me I love you, and 50 reasons at least why. And it's, and I'm asleep, half asleep when he's doing this, but it's his way of every morning letting me know that he loves me. And I think we all have to do that. You know, 50 reasons why I love you is a, is
yeah.
wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, instead of, you know, most husbands and wives, it's 50 reasons why I hate my husband and wife.
Oh, gosh.
It's horrible.
It is.
It's, you know,
oh,
it
no.
is really bad to be near couples when they, when they're like that. It really brings us all down. And soulmate couples bring everybody up. Everybody feels
right.
that love. So
it's positive energy and really great.
And that's what you're going to work on then. And let us know when your love comes. This is your year, so I'm seeing, you know, pay attention around the holiday parties. If somebody invites you to a party, if you're tired, put your makeup on and your dress and go.
Okay.
Good luck to you. And we're going to try to do another caller. I think we're going to Maine.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Cindy. We are going to Maine, and actually we're going to speak to Dee up in Maine. And I asked Dee how she was doing, and she said that she was a little bit up and down. And she actually just really has a question about her father, Cindy. She wants to know if there's any chance that he's going to be able to come through tonight. And she's got some questions about some siblings that she may or may not know about. So
okay,
let's see.
That's a big question.
Oh, yeah. So let's see what you pick up here for Dee up in Maine. Hello, Dee.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Dee. And your dad is, the first card I got was the mourning card. He would appreciate if you wouldn't mourn so much for him.
I don't.
Good, because it's one of
I really don't. I don't think I do mourn for him. I'm just, it's been, we didn't, I love my father. I will say that. But it wasn't. He wasn't easy to have as a father. There were things that happened when I was little that I don't remember that never should have happened.
And in the history of the world, that was fathers, by the way. They
yeah,
got away with
I'm,
murder. They got away with
well,
murder.
They did when you're a baby boomer born in 1948.
Right. In the shadow of World War II, where people were shell-shocked. And he's
yeah.
a person who is very apologetic to you. I mean, if your dad were to come down to Earth tomorrow, though, I think he wouldn't be all that great still. So, I mean, we're not going to make a saint out of this man. To remember, what you do is good. You remember the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's how
right, I do. I just don't remember the things that he did, and I used to really want to know until I finally decided that it doesn't matter anymore. I know he molested me in some way or another when I was little.
Well,
so
and it has
that,
to start before, I'm probably the world's expert on sexual abuse. It has to start before the age of 4 for you to repress it. And even if you were
right.
to go under hypnosis, it's not going to be brought forth because the child has chosen to completely forget it because it's, you know, it's such a horrible thing. And at least 80 people a week who contact me about having been molested by their fathers, their grandfathers, their mothers, their uncles, their brothers. So, you know, and their sisters. It's not something that's shocking, but in order for your father to have done it to you, it would have been done to him. You don't become a pedophile unless it's been done to you. People who have been molested don't necessarily become pedophiles. God puts the older, wiser souls like you and me into this dysfunction because we will end
right.
it.
Right.
But
no, I would never do that. But he did seem to come through the other night to someone. And the things that were said after he talked about she asked me about having siblings, seemed to be very much my father. Just
right.
the things that she said.
Well,
and
your father was
I'm
a sex addict. Are you aware of that? He was a sex addict. And, you know, him fathering other siblings is not unusual.
I know he had his magazines, and I knew where he kept them.
Right. And, of course, he's... saying, first of all, who was the alcoholic? Because there's an alcoholic next to your father, a man.
Does the man have a very ruddy face?
Yes. Is that
gray
your
hair?
Uh-huh.
That would
older
be my
man.
Mother's brother-in-law, Uncle Gene.
Okay, because Uncle Gene is with your dad, and Uncle Gene is saying you're going to open a can of worms with this one.
Well, you know what? I don't. I'm at that point where I don't give a rat's ass, in plain English, if I do open a can of worms. I'm 64 years young, as I say, and
good.
I want some truth. I want some truth because I'm owed it. I know my cousin, that was my mother's nephew, my Aunt Marion's son. We both lost out because a lot of stuff went to the grave.
Right. Well, what happened was the honor your father, honor your mother, blindly made people rewrite history and kind of put a slab over it. And you know, when people die, you make saints of them and you don't talk about it. That's why healing doesn't take place. But if you were to Google some information, you probably could start locating these people. The problem is they may or may not have your father's last name. It looks like they probably...
That's the thing, because I did dream about... Because I had always figured that I had a sister, it's been years now, but I had a dream, and it would have been, I think, last year, that I dreamt about this woman, and she was with my mother in the kitchen of the house that I'm living in, which was built by my father's father. And... in the dream, I asked if, because nobody was going to say anything to me, so I asked if she was my sister. She said she was, and she was supposedly older than I am, and she also was gifted like I am. And I, at some point, I was with her mother, who said something about Hawaii, and I asked the woman if she and my father were married, and she said yes, which was surprising to me considering the fact that I know about my father's what was supposedly my father's first wife, that he married in 38, and he divorced shortly before I was born, because I was born apparently before my parents got married. They got married the same month I was born and after it. So it's all very confusing, because if I have a sister out there, when I was kind of questioning it after the dream, I was upstairs in my bathroom, and something said to me, she can help you. Well, if I have one out there, I might as well find her, and if he's starting to bring it up, there's something's going on here.
Right, and again, in this day and age of internet and family tree tracing, it's easier than ever at some level to locate her.
Because I don't even have, the odd thing is, at the time of the dream, when I was having the dream, I didn't think to ask her what her name was.
Right, and, you know, it's the kind of thing that if you really want to find her, it appears that you will. And,
I think she's
a lot like you from when I could see in these cards.
Yeah.
And again, she doesn't.
Poor thing.
For you, these dreams are also coming from your father to try to help heal some issues and, have you forgiven your mom for not protecting you enough from him.
It's better with her now because she seems to want to be helpful, but I know there's a lot of things that I'll have dreams and I know when they're trying to tell me something, and there are times when I know she doesn't want to tell me something. She disappeared once when I asked her about, because I have scooped teeth, and I asked her if I had Indian blood, and she pretended like she didn't know what I was talking about, so I just went out into the kitchen and she was gone, and she happened to be with my ex at the time in the dream. And it was very weird because only once since my divorce, and that was in 1986, have I ever actually seen my ex as the way my ex is now, because my ex had a sex change. So it's really weird. I have a strange life. And
well, not really. If your dad was, like, you know, a sex addict, it isn't unusual to have, gravitate to people who have sexual issues or, whatever they need to heal. So that's not unusual, but for you, if you want to start Googling, because it's not that hard to locate people,
Because my cousin's wife did some, she was supposed to look up some stuff for me, and I don't think she found anything, because I have had more different answers, like, well, she'll look for this name, she's here, she's there, it's like, or don't look for her because, that wouldn't be a good idea. It's like, excuse me, I think I have a right to know my own family.
Right, exactly. And it's possible she's crossed over and she's coming to you in the dream that way, too.
I don't know. I got the impression that she was still alive, but some people have said I would find out about her after she passed. I don't know. It was confusing for me, and I just thought since he came through the other night and the person that was telling me about her, telling me about siblings, since I didn't know about it before, decided they weren't going to go that route and just let the rest of it come through.
Right. And again, it's just ways of healing and trying to find out answers. And, you know, in those days, it's not unusual for people to have some siblings they didn't know about in those days. I mean, it's
of course,
there wasn't such great contraception. I mean, you know, what I've learned doing this for a living is how many people, you know, parents had affairs and, you know, this one was born, you know, the mother was married to somebody else at the time, but her father was somebody else. I mean, that sort of was the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, do you know the name of your father's first wife?
Yeah, Greta Schroffnagel.
So, okay, if you can, with that knowledge, you can begin to trace something.
Because I don't think she, supposedly they didn't have any children, because I have some older cousins. They were his cousins. Who,
well, is it possible
because,
they gave one away?
I don't know. The thing that I found out was because I found out about her shortly before, a couple of months before I was going to be married. I was 26 years old, and my dad talked about his first marriage. And so I asked my mother, and come to find out this woman had worked for some people that my grandparents worked for, and so did my father. She was a German lady who wanted to stay in this country. And my father turned her in for being a Nazi spy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, tracing that one,
apparently she was.
The babies in Germany. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's intriguing and tracing the steps. And, you know, sometimes we just have to kind of put two and two together.
Yeah, because I had just sensed it for a long time. And then, then there was the dream and all this other stuff. And then suddenly this woman's asking me the other night, he said something about siblings. She said, ask me if I had them. Well, I was raised as an only child. And
lucky you. I'll give you a couple
siblings. I think probably. I'm not sure. I know that some of the family loved Greta. I found a letter once that my father had written my grandmother, and I could tell she didn't like Greta, but he didn't want her to say anything because he thought he'd never find anyone. Then he went with my mother for 5 years while he was still going with another woman in the state. And I figured out, and I grew up never figuring it out until long after he died. And then I told my mother in a dream that I figured out who I was named for.
Wow.
The girlfriend.
Wow.
Okay. And her, because I said Dorothy Fells. Dorothy, get it? And she went, in the dream. So I knew she knew.
Right.
I knew she knew. And I think that's part of the problem that we had was the fact that, because she wanted to name me Jane, and I'm glad she didn't now, but.
Right,
it's just the idea that if everything isn't, you know, I just figured that since he bribed up the other night, I'd like to know, who's this woman? Where do I find her? And this, you know, is.
Again, this is not my specialty to drag up, you know, that. I mean, it's not.
I should have asked about my love life.
Right, and again, kind of though, you know, I'm not doubting what you're saying because it's resonating very true in these cards. So I'm not. There's no negatives on what you're saying. I'm not saying this is not truth. And again, you know, a little research, a little asking, a little, you know, detective work could, you know, lead you. And also just putting that energy to the world that you want the whole truth, nothing but the truth, is usually pretty good at getting it to us.
Right. I think I'm owed it.
Yes, of course. And, you know, you might find, you know, you know, actually, try looking in Germany too, because it seems to be something with this woman resonating. So,
yeah, she apparently actually was a Nazi spy, and I found out the where they cornered her and her cronies.
And what you think your father was going to tell her?
Well,
who was your father?
He was a loyal American. I mean, he was stationed down in Yarmouth, Maine during the war, and he wasn't going to put up with somebody that wasn't a loyal American.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there were Nazi spies all over the place. That's the funny part about it, you know.
I know. That it,
That's,
you know, it seems
so
hard
true.
For us to believe and comprehend that, but, you know, I know where we live on Long Island, in Sayville, there was a whole, there was a whole lot of Nazi spies, and they had a radio station, a ham radio station, and giving out information back to Germany, so,
I don't doubt that for a moment.
And I don't see, you know, that there's any reason why you shouldn't pursue looking for her. There's nothing
I think I should. If I have a sister, we have a right to know each other. She may not, you know, she may not want to know me. That's her prerogative.
And even if your mom knows something, your mom isn't going to tell you, by the way.
My mom, no, because I just found out recently that I'm more like my mother than I ever thought, because I never knew she had a wild side when she was a lot younger.
I said, that generation, how they kept everything secret. We never knew who our parents were. That's what I'll tell you.
Oh, but see, my mother was born in 1905, so.
Wow.
She was really a lot older. My dad was born in 1908. But my cousin was telling me about that, and because his mother and my mother were sisters, and they went to Havana. Like, they went to Havana? And my mother was this wild woman?
Wow. So, see, we learn something every day, don't we? Your mother was a wild woman. That's a
and I thought
like
it was
the name
hysterical.
Of a good movie. My mother was a
I
wild
know, I
woman.
Thought, I should write something about that because it amused me immensely considering the way she was when I knew her, looking
yeah,
down
well.
Her nose at things, and then all of a sudden, mother, guess what? We're a lot alike, because I call myself jokingly a dirty-minded, body old lady with class.
I wonder if Nicole has anything to say about that, because that's funny.
Oh, man, I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, go on. I'm game.
But I said, you know, it's funny because we always forget, you know, even when you watch the older movies, you know, they always were having babies out of wedlock with somebody, you know. It was always the intrigue about who was the father.
Not for anything, Cindy. I mean, seriously, what amazes me, honestly, about, just politics in general, okay, is that if you go back throughout history, how many illegitimate children were, like, heirs to, like, thrones in England and, you know, Spain and this and that, where this one was, you know, like, this one's mistress had this child, and then that child became the heir to whatever throne and was given territories here. I mean, there's so much illegitimacy out there. I mean, is it really a surprise that it's still a throne?
No, it is. It is one of those things we forget, you know what I mean? We forget that, you know, they were humans just like us, you know what I mean? They were making the same mistakes, and only they were bigger mistakes because, you know, there wasn't legalized abortion and anything, so they really, you know, got caught with whatever they were doing. With, you know, they just found ingenious ways to hide it and cover it up if they could.
It's funny.
But nothing is bad in your cards, by the way. You actually have a very good year ahead of you, in case you're wondering about you.
Hoping I do, because my father was saying that I was going to have a good Christmas for once, because the woman pointed out that I always, you know, I wasn't looking forward to Christmas. I'm usually not, because I'm always by myself.
Well, that's why this year we'll hope that there'll be a very nice...
Mr. Wright, thank you. I've been waiting long enough.
Well, you're at the right... you know, time and space right now. Well, we're just about out of time, and Nicole, can you give a shout out? I'm going to shout out to Nicole, who I'm glad she's into the laws of attraction. Certainly showed her higher vibration here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, Cindy? Like I said, like it's weird because whenever I seem to be needing something, the show always really provides it for me, you know. So I'm happy that I was actually able to help people today, you know, by reacquainting myself with the basics. And you know what? Dee was absolutely was a rip tonight. So my shout out is to Dee.
Right.
All right.
Come a little spice and spunk on our show.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Dee? I mean, obviously you seem to be very, very in tune with this stuff. You know what? Try some lucid dreaming, Mama, because you know what? You might get all the answers that you need inside of you or inside of a dream, and you might not even have to go any further than that.
That's true.
You never know. I am a medium.
Wow.
So try some lucid dreaming. See if you can connect with your sister on a different plane.
Right.
Exactly.
Just like I said, I'm a medium, an indigo, what's the other word? Oh, yeah, an ascended master. You name it, I'm it.
Wow.
Nice.
Well,
and
good luck
fun.
To you, and good night,
okay,
everybody.
Okay, thank you.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.